Some of you don't even know his name. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. You know, as they were finishing up, obviously they kind of killed it a little bit, Carrington. You heard it. I mean, come on, they killed it, the band. And it reminded me about a month and a half ago, we've got a new couple that are in our church with two little kids, and they're sweet people. Actually, they're having their third, too, I think. Three boys, too, so Tracy knows them and just prays for them regularly. Three little boys. But they're really neat people. They're from Orange County, and they moved up here. And their parents came, I don't think it was Easter. It may have been. That's a long time ago, it seems like. But they came. They're really, the whole family came, mom and dad. And it was their daughter. I don't know if they're in the room or not. I'm not sure. But and I said, how did you let him marry your daughter? See, I've known that feeling. I've known that feeling. And we laughed. And they go to Saddleback. And Saddleback is huge. 20,000 people, 30,000, I don't, just big money, just big ministry, beautiful stuff. Jesus is honored every day of the week. And, you know, Rick Warren is Billy Graham today, come on, you know. And they said, you know, somehow we got in a conversation about, yeah, a little church can't be like Saddleback. You know, it's almost like I apologize, it's ridiculous, but you can't help it. It's like David and Goliath, you know. I got my little stone here. No, I'm just kidding. But they said, I'll never forget what she said to me as we were talking about it. She said, you know what surprised us? And I'm thinking, yeah, the message was so awesome. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking for her. That isn't what she said. She said, what surprised us is how good the music was in a little church. We didn't expect that. You know, and so they expected some guy with a guitar that sang out of tune, and somebody needed to tune his guitar. But I thought that was cool. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but good job, band. Ladies' retreat is next week. I'm looking forward to it. So we need some help covering the kids' classes. So if you're not going, or you're a male, anything above the five-year-olds, we'll let you at, because we want to protect the little ones here. So, also, VBS is coming the last week of June, and you may want to sign up online if you have kids that are in that age, because it kind of fills up pretty quick. And Friday night was spectacular in this room. CR goes on every Friday night 52 times a year. And every once in a while, they'll have somebody share their testimony, how Jesus has worked in their life, how the program called Celebrate Recovery has impacted their life. And Mr. Rich Sinner, who's in the back of the room, sitting next to Bobby Scarpetti, and he shared his testimony. And, you know, he's been here since 1991, so he goes way back. And he, like all of us, have had his own struggles. And there's something within the context of CR, once it's impacted you, one of the things it does, it makes you get honest with you. And then at some point along the line, you're willing to be honest with others. And those are two different things, very different. Some people work and get honest with themselves and look in the mirror and tell the truth to themselves about themselves, which is very freeing. It's ugly sometimes, but it's freeing. Because when you recognize what Jesus has done for you, that you can live on even though the junk that's in your trunk in terms of back there. But it was so good. He was hilarious. If the plane goes down, you may want to have him as your pastor. He's funny. But he was so real and so. And I know him and I love him and I've watched him go through all this stuff. But when somebody is honest and sincere and transparent, it causes you to be able to. It moves something in your heart. You know, not just happiness for him, certainly were that, but it was just good. So if you've got some hurts or some hang-ups or some habits that you really want to get rid of, CR is the place if you want to deal with it. And some people don't want to. I got it. It's minor. It doesn't dominate your life. You don't have to go to CR. But if you've got some things that are gripping your life that you can't get rid of, some depression, some addictions, some hurtness that is in your past that you don't want to dredge up, but you know there's something there that needs to be dealt with. That's a place that over the course of time will help you. And people that are really honest about themselves first and always. So enough about that. But did I go on too long?
No.
You want me to tell you how messed up Richie was? It's good to be friends. Today's theme, today's command, if you will, is Jesus, loud and clear today, says, choose me, and choose me carefully. Don't just choose me, but choose me carefully. It's a command from him, and you'll see the sense of that as we work through things. A guy named Peter Deason in his book, The Priority of Knowing God, great title, right, really draw you into that book. Priority of Knowing God tells about Ramad, a man of India who was a member of a gang of robbers. That's what they did. On one occasion, while burglarizing a house, Ramad noticed a small black book containing very thin pages just right for making cigarettes. So he took it. Each evening, he tore out a page, rolled it around some tobacco, and had a smoke. Obviously, he wasn't living in 2018 in California, but that's a whole different subject. Okay? Noticing that the small words on the pages were in his language, he began to read them before he rolled his cigarette. One evening, after reading a page, he knelt on the ground and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive his sins and to save him. He then turned himself into the police, much to their amazement. Ramad, the bandit, became a follower of Jesus, and in the prison where he served a sentence for his crimes, he led many others to the Savior. Now, that's just cool. That's just cool. It wasn't very funny. I know. You expected to laugh. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Well, I got some things we can laugh at Richie about. You can tell how deeply it impacted me. Really did. To have your life changed, it's sort of like pie in the sky for a lot of people. I got my life as my life. It is what it is. Whatever I'm the sum total of my experience and my parents and my education. And Jim, I'm at a place where I'm cynical and nothing's going to change me. That is not true. If you listen today, and you choose him, and you choose him carefully, your life and your future can be altered. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be in the same place together today. Thank you for the blessing that Rich was on Friday night to those of us that heard, and the thousands of people that will hear his story in the years ahead. May you break them free from depression and sadness and help them move beyond that, as you have in Rich's life. Thank you for truth that we can hang our hat and life on. And I pray that you would minister to us through these words, that your spirit would teach us, that something inside would go, oh, this is real. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room. And I pray you show up and you make yourself real to each and every one of us, that we might listen well and learn well, and put it in its proper place. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series. It's not new, entitled The Commands of Jesus, and it's born out of Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, and teach them all that I've commanded you. Sort of this general encouragement that this is what your life is to be about once you become my disciple. So what we're doing is we're breaking them down one at a time, chronologically, as best we understand, of what Jesus commands. And this is one of those things he commands. This is number 19 in our list. And I just want to tell you up front that truth is coming at you today. It really is. And it's a little bit challenging. Jesus is not trying to win a popularity contest today. And I stand in his shoes communicating his word. So if you're upset at the end of today, you need to blame the right person. And that would be Jesus himself, all right? Today's message is about two gates, two ways, two kinds of travelers, and two destinations. And as we unpack this stuff, it's really simple, but it's very, very powerful. And what you decide about this is a big, big deal, as you'll see. Well, two options available to us. That's what Jesus says. Number one, Jesus tells us in your notes there, if you're following along, the gate to choose. Talks about gates here. And he just lays out and tells us clearly, we're just picking out what the passage says. And the truth is, in life brings us many choices. Every day we face choices. We're constantly confronted by them. Which way do I go to work? Which way do I pick the freeway if I'm going to the west side, or do I just stay on side streets? What does Waze tell me, right? If you're in that world of having to drive that way. And I feel sorry for you if you do. But the truth is, if you stop choosing, you end up standing still. You end up stuck in life if you stop choosing. And I got to make choices all day long about lots and lots of stuff. And we regularly face going one way or another. Remember the Blondie song, One Way or Another? I kind of stop. Matthew 7:13, I did that because the joke wasn't funny early. We're done with that stuff now. Matthew 7:13, he starts off here. He says, enter. And he's trying to tell us what we need to do. He's trying to command us, coach us, teach us. Jesus is calling for a specific action here. Telling us what to do. He says, enter through the narrow gate. So he starts out this illustration that we're going to unpack today concerning this gate issue. And it's really about choice here. The gate is a symbol. It's a picture of what the truth is. All right? And when Jesus says enter, this is not a command to admire or to sit back and ponder. This gate, it's not about that. Or to have this gate as a backup plan. Like when things get real intense, when things get real in my life, I'm going to remember the gate and I'm going to run over to it. I'm going to grab onto it. I'm going to go through it. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to enter it. Specific action. Make a choice. Make a decision. Actually enter and go through it. Big deal. Big part of this message. Jesus is not asking us to enter some gate. Any gate. He's not asking that. Just because it's a gate. But to enter a specific gate, this narrow gate. We're going to talk more about that as the message goes on. Number two. Now, Jesus tells us what gate to avoid. So again, we're just kind of wandering our way through this text, two verses, as he's coaching us. He's telling us in these two verses, these few verses, that men travel in one of two gates. Everybody, one of two gates. The narrow gate or the wide or broad gate and road and what? Matthew 7:13 goes on and says, for wide is the gate. So what's he talking about? Well, this gate is big and wide. It's huge. It's so big and so wide that you could drive a Mack truck through it. Right through it. This gate is available to everybody. And it's a good-looking gate. It's a good-looking gate. It's a celebratory gate. This gate doesn't have many expectations and standards. Everybody's welcome with this gate. Everybody. Matter of fact, many of us spent many years partying right on the other side of this gate. Right? It's reasonable. This gate is reasonable. Really. It's a beautiful gate, very attractive, put together well, built well, thought through. The engineer that designed this was magnificent. It's not demanding. Come on, join us. Make it your gate. You too can enjoy and take ownership of this gate. Then he goes on to say, and he's talking about on the other side of the gate, of course, but he says, and broad is the road. Like, this is an option for everybody. This gate and what's on the other side of it. This thing is huge. It's wonderful. It's smooth. It's resurfaced. This is where you want to be. Matter of fact, on this road, you can get whatever you want. And you can really, really have killer fun. You will make memories on this road. That are, you guys already got the whole message. I could pray and go home. Really, seriously. Thank you. Let's pray. But then he tells the truth. This is what Jesus does. He's so powerful. He says, as broad as the road that leads, and the idea of leads is it takes you down a path. It captures your life, your thinking, your morals, who you are, what you dream about. It leads to destruction. And so what he says, this beautiful, wide, huge, massive gate with a road on the other side, what it does, it leads to total ruin and loss. It doesn't look like it because the gate is cool. The gate is put together well. The gate has promise on it and through it. One of the big ideas here that Jesus is talking about, this gate, this wide, broad gate, it looks like it's headed to heaven. I mean, they couldn't build this gate without God. It's too good. It's marked and it promises heaven. Maybe not with the same definition that other measly little skinny stupid gate over there does, but here's the truth. It may promise heaven, but it doesn't lead there. That's what Jesus wants us to know. This gate says, look, just be a good person and you'll be good. Be kind. Be a together person. Don't do too much bad, but you gotta have some fun. It's out of the pit of hell. That's what Jesus wants you to know. What is this wide gate? Well, it's where sin and wrong is tolerated and accepted. It's where truth from God gets moderated and settled down so it's palatable. It's where humility gets ignored, and it's the proud and the famous that get lifted up. The beautiful. It's where God's standards are admired, but not followed. They're not followed. Jesus tells us what gate to avoid. That would be the wide one and the broad one. Number three, let's keep moving. The second gate, the wide gate that we're talking about, is the easy way, as we've sort of already described. This wide or broad gate, what it means here, what Jesus is trying to get across is it's attractive. It looks better than the other one. It's inclusive, not exclusive. It's permissive, where this other gate that Jesus is going to highlight in a minute, it may even be called controlling, because it's got some standards and some requirements and some expectations. It's self-indulgent. You can have more fun in your life on this earth through this wide, broad gate than you can through the narrow one. Can we just admit that up front? It's filled with parties and people and freedom in a way that us humans, that dark side inside of us like. It's dangerous. It's tantalizing. It looks exciting. Not many rules. Not many requirements. Not many restrictions with that wide and broad gate. And again, most of us in this room live some decades right on the other side of that gate. And, you know, I'll never forget this guy. His name was Greg Selmanson. And one time, Jeff Hallion, myself, and I think Bill Boyage were at our house in Torrance. This before I met Sandy, okay? I don't know why I'm telling you that, but it's just the truth. I met her, but she wasn't ever going to go out with me. And that's a whole other story. I'm not telling you that one now. So we start talking about the past. We're brand new Christians. I'm really new. I'm excited, but I'm new. And dangerous, a dangerous human being. We're talking about the past and the fun that we had, and we're sort of laughing about it, the silliness. And I'm not going to tell you any of it, not one bit of what we talked about, nothing. But you know the story because you got it. You know, it's the life on the other side of the fence. And this guy was sitting on the floor with his arms back, you know, listening to us. And he'd been a Christian his whole life, went to Brother in high school, and he had parents that raised him, right? And after about 45 minutes of this stuff, he said, "You guys, you're making me sick." We looked at him, we go, what, dude, what? And he goes, "You know, you guys had fun when you did all that stuff." And it was clear from the conversation that it was fun. And he goes, "I did almost everything you did, but I was a Christian, and I felt guilty the day after. I didn't understand that back then." And my point is that life on the other side of that big, wide, broad fence is really fun. I'm not denying that on a human level. I'm not. I'm a realist. There's no rules, regulations, restrictions. Be you, baby. If you're not happy in your marriage, get out. Find somebody that'll treat you better. Like you're Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful. Like you're the catch. Yeah, blame Richie, because he made me so honest today. He got so honest Friday night. Blame Richie. All right, let's look at verse 13. And he goes on, speaking of this wide and broad gate, and he says, "And many enter. Even though trouble lies ahead, they don't see it. They're not listening to what Jesus says. And I certainly wasn't back in the day." He said, "Many join in and go through that gate and choose that gate. And many enter through it." This gate is enormous. Everybody's welcome. Everybody. Many can come through, by the way, all at once because it's wide, it's broad. Proverbs 14:12 there in your note says this: "There is a way that appears to be right." This is part of our humanness. We can conclude, deduct, based on our experience, what we hear from others, whatever it might be. Man's reasoning can seem right to him, okay? But in the end, it leads to death. And he's talking about spiritual death, not just human death. All of us are going to die. It doesn't produce the life we need and want. That's what he's getting at here, the book of Proverbs. A West Indian who had chosen Islam over Christianity said his reason was that Islam is a noble, broad path. There is room for a man and his sins on that path. The way of Christ is too narrow. That's what he said. That was his reasoning. And the illustrator goes on to say, "It seems that many preachers today do not see that issue as clearly as that unbelieving Muslim." That's the truth. The way of Christ, the way of Jesus, it's strict. There's freedom in it. But the toughest thing you'll ever do is to try to live out the principles of Jesus day after day. That's not what gets you into heaven. It's he himself having died for you. But to live it out is the hardest work you'll ever do. Some people just want to justify wrong living. The many represents people who just are not and will not be interested in Jesus himself. They don't mind the subject of God or spiritual life or even a little bit of truth, a little bit of biblical principle. But people who refuse to believe are that many. That's who they are. Number four, let's keep moving. This first gate, the narrow one, is the difficult gate. It's the difficult one versus the easy one. So this narrow gate is hard. It's the hard way. It's the demanding way. It's the difficult way. And Jesus wants you to understand that. What he's calling us to do and decide today is a really big deal in our life. And most of you in the room, I know, have already decided. This just sort of clarifies it. This puts it under a microscope and goes, shoo, and it gets big. Hopefully you're grateful that you've chosen him. To get through this gate, you got to know the king that owns the gate, that has provided it. Jesus is the key to unlock that gate. He, as you'll see in a minute, really is the gate. But verse 14 goes on. But small, as opposed to big, wide, and broad, is the gate. It's different. It's small. A little tiny thing. Not that big. The other gate's beautiful. This one, not so beautiful. Small. We like big things, right? How many of you have a smart car? Oh, you do. Let's start praying for her immediately. No, I think it's great. I have a half electric car. I want an electric car one day because they're so fast. Well, a Tesla is, excuse me. But what am I doing? I didn't know anybody would raise their hand. I don't know that it should say smart on the back. That's all I'm saying. It should say economical, green, wise, maybe, but smart. Okay, small as the gate. I'm just moving on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But small is the gate and narrow. So it's not like the other gate. That's an interesting root word, really, when you think about our subject matter. The root word for narrow is to groan from being under pressure. Under pressure. That's under pressure. And it represents the thought of restriction or compressed or confining. I want you to keep that in your mind when you understand this narrow gate and what it's all about. So, but small is the gate and narrow the road. Once you get beyond the gate, the road doesn't widen out. You can't have all the fun in the world and still be happy and full of joy and feel the smile of God, and live any way you want. That's different. It's work to follow and love Jesus after you get by the gate. And you even got him on board at that point. But he goes on about this path once you've entered through the gate. It's the road that leads to life. And where he says life, he's not just talking about us breathing and our heart working and it's functioning. But it's God's kind of life. It's called everlasting life, something only God could give. He can only give you life here on earth for 70 to 105 years. It's hard to get beyond 105. That's a tough number to beat. I say every day over 80 is a good one until you get there, and then you shift your numbers. It's just part of life, right? But it's heaven. It's paradise. It's what's promised in the Bible. And it's full of hope. And notice what Jesus says in John 10:9 with this whole subject of the gate. He just comes right out. He goes, I am the gate. I'm the gate. It's me. Nothing else. I'm the gate. I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the man. I'm the Savior. I'm the Messiah. And if you want to go through this gate, you go through me. And I'll welcome you. Anybody can come. Anybody. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And what he's saying here is, I am your way to life. This God's kind of life. Everlasting life. There's a story in Luke 18 about a rich young ruler. And this guy had a tough go of it with Jesus. Check it out. Let's peek at it, huh? We'll go down here and see if Carlos can help us. You don't have a smart car. Yeah. You ready? Want to read the Bible with me? Kind of cool, huh? A certain ruler asked him is Jesus, Good teacher. They loved him. They respected him. How could they not? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Fair question. Real question. Boy, I'm echoing here. Ooh, maybe I should sing a song with that reverb. Sorry, Carlos. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. Great question. Jesus was so good at asking questions. He asked a question, then another question, then another question. You want to be a relational person that connects with other people? Ask them questions. Talk with them. Don't just talk. Talk, 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 talk. Stop and ask a question. It says verse 20. That had nothing to do with the subject, but you know the commandments. He says to the good teacher, you shall not commit adultery. Well, that sounds good to me. You shall not murder. Oh, so many murders going on in our world. It's just harsh and horrible. You shall not steal. Those are the commands, right? 10 commands. We all know them. You shall not give false testimony and honor your father and mother. I like that last one. All these I have kept, he says. Pretty proud guy. And maybe true. His life was focused on obeying God's word in the Old Testament. Since I was a boy, I've been a good boy. When Jesus heard this, he said, got it. He didn't say got it, but he goes, you still lack one thing. Just one thing. You're right. You've done really well, but you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. You'll have eternal life. Sell everything and give it away. Become a generous man, which you know and I know that you're not. Then I want you to come and follow me. Won't you come follow me? When he heard this, he became very sad. Why did he become sad? Because he was very wealthy. He wasn't average wealthy. He was very wealthy. If you asked Kenny and Carla and Jim and Sandy McKinga to give everything you had, I don't know how impressive it'd be. We're not like him. We're not like the wealthy guy. But it made him sad. And he couldn't do it. And the whole point is the kingdom, eternal life, is for those who come to the king at any cost. In other words, they make him more important than anything they have, do, or succeed at. Jesus is not a cheap way to heaven. I believe, I don't know, but if this rich young ruler would have said, done, sold, sell it, Jesus would have given him back twice as much. We have illustration for that with the life of Job. But Jesus isn't a taker. He's a giver. But Jesus knew what this guy really needed for all eternity was to not love what he owned. The way of salvation is simple, but folks, it's not easy. It's not easy. Number 5, keep moving. The truth is, and here it is, at least for Jim. Few are those who get, G-E-T, big letters, get Jesus. Few are those who get Jesus. The entrance is narrow. It needs to be hunted down. It's not wide and broad and beautiful. There's not many options offered. There's one. It's a little gate, and it's not very impressive. But with a broad gate, everybody's welcome. The problem is one ends well and one doesn't. And Jesus has already laid that out. Those who get Jesus are headed to heaven. And I asked the question, who are the people that get Jesus? Who are they? Well, one of the ways you can tell if you get Jesus, and it's a big deal, is Jesus no longer a mystery to you? I'm not saying there aren't mysterious things about him, but you know him. He's in your life. He's not just a decision back in the past, but he functions with you. He functions with you. And what he says really matters. You know him. He's not a mystery, in large part. And he becomes the Lord of your life by choice. You want him to be in charge. That doesn't mean you don't step away from his leadership, obviously. But you want him to lead you. You welcome him to lead you. Even if he has to sort of or bang you on the head a little bit. We regularly obey him. Not completely. Nobody ever will this side of heaven, but we regularly obey him. Those are the people that get Jesus. If you think you have Jesus and you're headed to heaven and you could care less what he says and care less if you obey him, you don't know him. That's not how it works. It's not the way it... You don't really know him, even if you think you do. And one of the biggies, practical ways, is you have peace when you shouldn't. You got this mess you have to deal with, maybe not even of your own making, maybe your own making, but... And yet, in the midst of it, there's this uncanny, I'm okay. That's what Jesus brings to our life. I'm okay no matter what happens. Because if you think that your worry and your control is going to fix everything, then you may not know Jesus that brings peace. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not just a big, 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 big bank account. Jesus says concerning the narrow gate that leads to life, look at it at the end of verse 14. He says, and only a few. And the idea here, it's not so much a small amount, but in comparison to this wide gate, this is a sad, sad verse to have to even talk about. And only a few find it. And what he's saying is, only a few get it. Get Jesus. And what I mean is, honestly being in relationship with him that's vibrant, real, and effective. Thus, they end up headed to heaven. Few implies that Jesus is pursued diligently, just like the narrow gate compared to the big, broad one that looks so welcoming and it promises so much in this life. Look at the screen. Jeremiah 29. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Have you done that? God guarantee you seek him and you'll find me. Go after him. Chase him down. Pound on his heart. Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to matter more than anything to me. Even though I fail so often. Those who enter through this narrow gate get Jesus. They get him. They understand on some level, the privilege of knowing him. And they don't take it for granted. They don't. Look at Luke 13:23. I think it's in your notes, isn't it? It's there? Good, good. Someone, by the way, the someone, we don't know who. Someone asked him in a public way, Lord, obviously a believer who referred to him as Lord. Bless you. And only a few people going to be saved? Who's curious? Great question. An honest question asked by a follower of Jesus. Verse 24, and I do love this about question asking. Jesus just kind of ignores this question and just tells him truth. He said, dude, don't worry about everybody else. You worry about you. You know, sometimes we start thinking about it. Some people don't get saved. I've heard this before because their grandma wasn't a Christian and they want to be where she was. Person. Don't worry about everybody else. You take care of your soul, and then you'll be prepared to help others. You're not responsible for anybody that's gone before. You're responsible for you. And so he takes this question. He says, make every effort. What's every effort? It's all that you got. This decision time, Jesus is saying. This idea to strive, to agonize, to fight, to complete as an athletic event. Get to the finish line. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. This is a theme that Jesus brought up over and over again. The door's a tight fit. And the issue is that faith costs something. It squeezes you. To trust Jesus means you let go of selfish intentions and goals in your life, which dominate us oftentimes. That you make Jesus more important than anything else. That's part of receiving him as Lord. He becomes the leader. You don't get Jesus and your selfish desires and ambitions. You don't get them both. They don't wed together. He goes on, he says, because, why do you need to do this? Because many, and I hate the word many here, I wish it was a few here, or just some, a little tiny crowd. But it is what it is. And what he's telling this guy is, refuse to be part of this number, fella. Because many, I tell you, Jesus' words, will try to enter. They want in this narrow gate, especially when their time comes. Who wouldn't? Everybody wants to go to heaven. I tell you, they will try to enter and will not be able to. They're on the outside looking in, and they want in. No heaven in their future. And Jesus is telling this guy and us, make sure you're in. You prove out you're really saved by the way you live. You don't earn heaven. Jesus takes you there. But if you have realized the promise that he's made to you and the reality of that promise lived out, how do you not follow him to the best of your ability? The bottom line is, it's few. It's few because people don't want to submit. They want to run their own life. Don't tell me what to do, Jesus. They don't say it like that because it would be too rude. But that's how they live. I want to be the boss of my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Rather than say, Jesus, whatever your will is, I'm in. Babe, let's go. I'm going to accept it. After hearing Dr. Billy Graham on the air, this was an Australian years and years ago, viewing him on television and reading reports and letters concerning him and his mission, who Billy Graham was. By the way, my father-in-law, 87? Is that how old you are? 86, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you older, Bill. So, smart car, and I made my father-in-law older. Good, this is just a great day. It's a great day. He was saved at a Billy Graham crusade many, many years ago. Just thought I'd throw that in. I didn't ask permission, obviously. He said, I am, this Australian, heartily sick of the type of religion that insists my soul and everybody else's needs saving, whatever that means. I have never felt that I was lost, nor do I feel that I daily wallow in the mire of sin. Although repetitive preaching insists that I do. Give me a practical religion that teaches gentleness and tolerance, that acknowledges no barriers of color or creed, that remembers the aged and teaches children of goodness and not sin. If in order to save my soul, I must accept such a philosophy as I have recently heard preached, I prefer to remain forever damned. This guy is taking this wide, broad gate and road, and he's living right in the middle of it. And he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear the message that Jesus wants to bring and wants him to understand. And it so happens Billy Graham was a target that day. Look, it's natural to prefer. We're humans. The wide, broad gate that offers folks easy access. The crowd is there. They're having fun. There's good food over there. It's new. It's fresh. It's progressive. They're teaching good stuff. They're teaching good stuff. The narrow way seems older. Traditional. Boring. You mean I'm not supposed to have sex before I get married? Are you kidding me? Even I say it in here, and some of the youngsters go, he doesn't really believe that, does he? Why did they say that? Because almost all of us in the room had sex before we were married. We don't listen to Jesus. This narrow gate and road seems so constrictive and controlling. God knows what's best for you and me. Got you on that one, didn't I? It's boring. It's less free. They are not having near as much fun. Howard Hendricks, I heard this yesterday from my brother-in-law. He said, why is it that Christians, when they're in a crowd, look like they've been sucking on a pickle for a while? They don't smile enough. Have fun. Too much? Yeah, that's too much. All right, let's bring this to a close. What does Jesus teach us here? Made you laugh, though. Took you out of the pickle realm, didn't I? Okay, number one. This choice is enormous in life. May I say that again? This choice is enormous in life. Jesus wants us to see the importance of what we choose here. We hear, you know, about the guy with the bigger barns? Well, let's look. Bigger barns guy. Come on, Joe. Luke 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. He has more than enough for him. He needs to give some money to me. When this happens in the middle of a family, there's just destruction all around. When you ask somebody to be generous because they have more than you, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Verse 14, Jesus replied, man, who appointed me judge or another arbiter between you? Then he said to them, gives a principle. He says, watch out, be careful, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Greed will come in and suck the life right out of you. It'll own you. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Yet most of us in the room want to try that out. We're human. And he told them this parable. He's telling a story, all right? Now I'm all on my own. I'm not down with Carlos, so don't expect a lot, okay? He said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Just lots of rain. God blessed it. Verse 17, he thought to himself, self. You know, you do this off self. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops, my grain. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns that were fully functional and served him well and gave him great wealth and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live this human life, that wide gate over there. So much fun, and you're a dude. You got millions in the bank. But God said to him, you idiot, fool, dumb person. This very night, today, your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. Which gate are you dependent on, dude? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. The person that doesn't enter through the narrow gate, get on the right road. Tough stuff. Difficult stuff. All right, number two. Choice is enormous in life. Number two, this gate is narrow. And what does that tell us? A couple quick things. Number one, no one enters in groups. You can't take a group through the narrow gate. Can't do it. It's one person at a time. It's never about you and others. It's about you. You take care of you. Then you can say, come on. Come on. There it is. There it is. I went through. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Number two, we enter with nothing. The gate's narrow. It's narrow. One has to strip himself of everything to get through. If you're going to depend on your stuff and your experience and your brain and your money-making potential, you don't get to go through. One commentator says nothing goes through, not even clothes. You're butt naked when you go through that gate. You got nothing. Ladies, I don't know if you like shoes or not. None of your shoes. Nothing. Boys, no toys. Boys, no toys. The goodies of life don't go through with you. By the way, this wide gate, bring your bags. Come on. You want to hook up a trailer? Bring it. We'll all, if you want us to, play with your stuff. Come on. Come on. Bring it all through. It's wide. You have everything. Have everything. So no one enters in groups. We enter with nothing. Number three, we don't stumble in by accident. You don't luck into this. You don't. You don't just happen on this. Oh, there's the narrow gate. There it is. There it is. Ask the question of you right now. How'd you get through that narrow gate? How'd you find Jesus? Was it mama? Was it daddy? Was it a youth pastor? Was it a heartache in your life? What got you through the gate? What got you through the gate? You have to reach out. You have to walk towards it. You have to believe it. You have to go through it to get the bennies. Number three, entering this gate, start something. Jesus is the gate, as he said. And once you get Jesus, follow and believe in him, you've passed the gate. You have a relationship with him forever, forgiveness forever, even if you're a goofball. It's truth. You get peace with God forever. It doesn't mean you're going to live with peace with God, but you have the peace of God once you get through the gate. Get through the gate. Get through the gate. Number four, the gate you choose determines future, your future. Jesus is very clear here. One gate leads to life. One gate leads to destruction. You choose. There's no third gate. Hear me loud and clear. There's no third gate. There's two gates, and you get to choose. Number five, the few acknowledges seriousness. I'm about to get your attention. If you do nothing else, just get Jesus. Get it. Few find him. Get him. Become comfortable with him. Learn about him. Follow him closely. Love him fully. He's done so much for us. Watch this, then I'll pray, and we are done. Let's pray, huh? Bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you that we can talk truth in this room, that we can be real about it, hoping that we don't scare anybody new off, certainly, but that if somebody's here new, that they might find you, like most of us in the room have, that we learn to depend on you, that somehow our bell would be rung about how serious and beautiful you need to be in our life. Thank you for truth. Thank you for making it clear. Help every one of us get on beyond that narrow gate by trusting you, believing you're God, and believing you died for us and that you rose again. Thank you for friends that gather every week. We love you in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. In God.